Harry Potter and the Orb of Exuberance by Fezzador. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on the works of J.K. Rowling. Chapter 33. Who Done It? The next Wednesday morning, Harry, Othniel, Quentin, and Jeremy woke up to the loud holler of Iskander Aziz, a sixth-year trustee. But it wasn't the usual call of reveille. Morning physical training has been canceled today. Everybody has 30 minutes to get dressed in their formal robes for an emergency meeting. In addition to Professor Fry, the deputy headmistress herself will be conducting a surprise inspection. You'll need your wands. I wonder what this is about, Harry wondered aloud. We've never deviated from our usual morning routine like this before.
I have no idea, replied Othniel as he hastily began dusting off his formal robes. Something's definitely up.
My brother said this happened once last year, added Jeremy. He said a Pukwudgie and a Wampus engaged in a wizard's duel after curfew. The Pukwudgie kid lost his right hand and had to get fitted with a magical gauntlet. Nobody else fessed up as to who the other party was, so they did a wand check. When they discovered who the second wand belonged to, they expelled both students and gave the respective seconds 50 demerits, 10 detentions.
Why do people duel? That's just insane, groaned Othniel.
Can't people settle their differences by playing a game or something less brutal? Quentin shook his head sadly. Pride and honor. Generally speaking, commoners find wizard duels to be utterly barbaric, but amongst the old money crowd, it's the traditional way to settle disputes. Usually it's over a girl or a perceived slight against another prominent family. From what my sister says, wizard duels are a thing in magical Europe, too.
I'll have to ask my Uncle Roger and Godfather Sirius, said Harry. Professor Lupin, too. They're from magical Britain. I'm sure they can back that up.
20 minutes later, Harry and his roommates met up with 150 other horned serpents in a very cramped common room. Professors Fry and Good stood in front of the fireplace, ready to address their charges. Good had a stoic expression on her face, but Fry's countenance was utterly blanched. Harry could tell that something dreadful must have happened the night before. Professor Good's impassive gaze must have hidden feelings of shock and anguish, as none of the students were prepared for the announcement she was about to make.
Students, she began. We regret to inform you that one of your own was found deceased in the girls' lavatory in the wee hours of the morning. We cannot rule out foul play, so as a formality, we must temporarily confiscate all of your wands for forensic testing.
Harry's heart pounded. His mind first went toward Anna, but breathed a huge sigh of relief when he saw the petite brunette on the opposite side of the room. He offered her a smile, but she didn't appear to notice him. His eyes darted around the room to look for Tallulah and cracked a small smirk when he saw the girl sitting with Gallifrey in her lap, most likely for comfort. She looked rather distraught. Harry felt horrible for the petrified girl. And finally, Nova. His heart pounded faster than ever trying to find her, but his heart sank when he failed to locate her.
Anybody but Nova, Harry repeated to himself mentally. She can't be dead.
Professor Fry then took over.
As a result of this tragic incident, classes are cancelled for the day. In addition to wand testing, the trustees will be assisting us in inspecting our uniforms. Demerits will be doubled for any discrepancies we find.
If there is a silver lining, added Good, we are not singling out the horned serpents. All four houses will be thoroughly inspected.
She lowered her wand to a husky creak.
Any students we deem suspicious will be brought directly to Professor Fontaine for further questioning.
Once the inspection concludes, you may change into appropriate nomad attire if you wish, said Fry. And be advised, pay extra close attention to the bulletin today. There may be some changes to your daily routine.
Missy then hollered for her fellow horned serpents to create four lines across.
Once all the horned serpents got in formation, four trustees went through each line to collect every student's wand and inspected their uniforms. Harry's uniform was virtually spotless. Though Othniel's sweater vest was slightly wrinkled, to both boys' relief, neither of them received any demerits. The inspection had concluded by 7. The trustees dismissed their housemates and remained behind to be inspected by Professor Fry. Harry didn't dawdle. He bolted to his dormitory to put on a sweatshirt, cargo pants, and some Chuck Taylor sneakers. He then bolted downstairs for breakfast, but mostly out of habit, as much of his appetite was taken away by the sudden change in his schedule. He cracked a huge smile when he saw the unmistakable face of Nova. Unlike Harry, she seemed to be in no hurry to change as she remained in her formal robes, so he scooted himself over to her side of the table.
Hey, Nova,
he said in a shaky voice. "Am I glad to see you?" Nova smiled and shrugged.
"Oh, hello, Harry. How are you?" "Better, now that I know that you're okay," replied Harry. "I was really worried because I couldn't find you in the common room a little bit ago. For a moment, I thought that the student we lost was you."
"I'm sorry, I didn't mean to scare you," said Nova. "I wasn't trying to hide from you on purpose."
"It's a big house," admitted Harry.
"There's what, about 160 horned serpents?"
Nova nodded.
"Something like that, yeah."
Harry then lowered his voice.
"So, do you know which student it was?"
I wish I didn't," sighed Nova.
She shook her head.
"Don't worry about it, mate. It's probably no one you know anyway. She was a fifth year. One of those stuck-up old money divas. Honestly, she won't be missed much."
Harry arched an eyebrow.
"Do you know who did it?"
"Beats me," Nova said.
"I know that a lot of people didn't like her. A lot. Even then, I don't think anyone disliked her enough to want her dead."
She cupped her hand over Harry's ear.
"I don't have proof, but I don't think it was a student that killed her."
Harry reeled back. "Why do you think that?"
Nova lowered her head.
"Because, how about we discuss this later in a more private setting? I don't think the mess hall is the best place."
"Fair enough," whispered Harry.
"Anna knows the Muffliato spell, or whatever it's called, if you're comfortable inviting her. Speaking of, I'm going to check on her."
"Sounds good, Harry," purred Nova. "See you in a bit."
Harry spied Anna near the opposite end of the horned serpent table. Like Nova, she was still in her formal robes, with her lovely russet hair draped in shiny, loose curls again. She was completely immersed in a thick textbook, so we got her attention by gently tapping her on the shoulder.
"Good morning, Anna."
"Oh, good morning, Harry,"
replied Anna in a sweet lilt. She was wearing her glasses again this morning, but they couldn't hide her red, puffy eyes, as if she had been crying.
"You seem kind of upset," Harry murmured.
"Is there anything I can help you with?"
"Honestly, probably not,"
Anna said with a rather dejected-sounding sigh.
"It's been a rather rough morning in more ways than one."
Harry lowered his voice as much as he was able.
"The girl's body they found, did you know her?"
A teardrop streaked down Anna's cheek as she nodded.
"Yeah. Morgan Doolittle. She was one of my teammates on the Quiz Bowl team. She and I didn't get on well."
Harry winced.
"You didn't have anything to do with that, did you?" Anna's jaw dropped.
"Harry, how could you ask something so obtuse? Just because we weren't friends doesn't mean I'd ever wish any ill will against her. She didn't deserve whatever happened to her. I feel horrible for her family."
Harry lowered his head shamefully.
"I'm sorry, Anna, that was wrong of me, but do you have any idea who might have done it?"
Anna nodded.
"It's okay, Harry, and I have no clue, to be honest. I know a lot of people didn't like Morgan, but I highly doubt anyone disliked her enough to want her dead."
"That's what Nova was thinking," replied Harry.
"Do you want to meet up with her in private sometime today? I mean, you can cast a muffling spell, which can keep prying ears away."
"Maybe the library,"
suggested Anna. "Or some other quiet place, as I'm sure that the common room will be exceptionally boisterous today."
"Well, perhaps the choir room," offered Harry. "Nova and I have used that before, and that's about as private as it gets."
"That could work," hummed Anna.
"Maybe after I've had a chance to get changed into something a bit more comfortable."
Harry grinned at his friend.
"Sounds good."
About 2 hours later, the Horned Serpent common room was bustling with commotion. A gaggle of students huddled around the bulletin board, where a most unsettling announcement in big, bold letters was listed at the very top of the notice.
"From the Headmaster. After a thorough inspection of all student wands, no trace of unauthorized magic has been found. All classes are scheduled to resume tomorrow morning, beginning with physical training. The Makuza Department of Magical Law Enforcement has been notified. In the meantime, we fully plan to continue our internal investigation. Until further notice, students are restricted to their respective common room and dormitory areas when not in class or attending physical training. Students are to be escorted to and from class by trustees. Extracurricular activities are temporarily on hold."
"This sucks," grumbled Linus Falk,
a lanky, ginger-haired third-year student with a noticeable gap between his front teeth.
"Some sanctimonious girl goes and offs herself, and now we can't do anything without having our hands held?"
"You don't know that,"
argued Aaliyah Scarborough, a short, stocky, fourth-year black girl with twin-braided pigtails.
"None of us do. The only thing they've crossed off is that Doolittle's death wasn't caused by another student."
But did they check her wand? Asked Katrina Rubin, a squat seventh-year girl with short, curly dark hair and exceptionally thick glasses. Or did they check the faculty members' wands? It's unlikely that a teacher or a staff member would attack a student, but they shouldn't be exempt. A few other horned serpents chimed in with their theories. Meanwhile, Harry, Anna, and Nova were huddled in the opposite corner of the room.
So much for the library or the choir room, mumbled Harry. Now we can't go anywhere except to and from class. Thank Merlin for that Muffliano spell.
He gave Anna a sympathetic look. I hope that doesn't mess your quiz bowl schedule up too much. Anna sighed.
Probably will, considering that Morgan was my teammate. They're going to have to find a replacement, and who knows how long that'll take.
And who knows how long it'll take before they make an official statement about what happened, chimed in Nova.
Even if they find the truth, they'll probably cover it up and say that it was a suicide or some other nonsense. If word gets out that there's a murder on the loose, Ilvermorny may well close its doors.
Sounds no different than the non-magical world, then, grumbled Harry. The government will pull out all the stops to prevent panic and chaos.
Who do you think did it?
Harry asked Anna and Nova.
If it wasn't a student, and if it's unlikely she committed suicide.
A faculty member, Nova replied without hesitation.
I saw her body just before Reveille. She had a look of shock on her face, but she didn't look like she suffered. Whoever did it must have been a master of one of the unforgivable curses, which aren't even taught here.
Harry tilted his head.
Unforgivable curses?
He asked, with a healthy helping of both confusion and interest.
There are three of them. The Imperious Curse, which can effectively enslave the mind of a victim. Then there's the Killing Curse, which is arguably the second worst. Of course, the goal is to kill the victim, but it's a very quick death. And finally, there's the Cruciatus Curse, which usually doesn't directly cause death for its victim, but it is a very slow and painful torture that can have lasting effects. Those who have been exposed to such a curse for extended periods of time can lose their sanity. Death would be a blessing for those unfortunate souls.
So someone likely cast the Killing Curse on that Doolittle girl, surmised Harry.
But why?
Nova shrugged.
Probably so, and I have no idea.
Casting an unforgivable on a child, even a spoiled rotten one like Doolittle, is a sick and twisted act. Death would be too light a punishment.
You said that they don't teach unforgivables here, so it's likely not an Ilvermorny-trained wizard, Anna said. She gulped.
You don't think it could have been Professor Lupin?
The three looked at each other with expressions fraught with fear and felt their stomachs collectively sink.
For the full text of this and other stories by the same author, visit the AO3 page of Fezzador. Music is The Chamber by Kevin MacLeod. Special thanks to Sakiko. If you would like me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch with me using the contact information on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find other stories that I've read, as well as a link to my Discord server and other ways to support what I do. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.